How is life going so far? How's church going so far? Better than expected? Better than expected. The sermon title, just in case you didn't know that. Better than expected. Day in the life of a church. So very often, there are so many things that we do and scurry around and get ready for and want to do to present and prepare you for God's word. And sometimes things interfere with that, distractions happen, and sometimes interference even occurs, like a small lightning strike, for example, here at the church, and other things that have abounded this past week. And so far, this day is going better than expected, don't you think? I think so. God is great. Always, no matter what we go through, no matter sometimes what happens in life, we, as humans, we have expectations, don't we? Right? And I've always advised you, when it deals with other people and controlling them and the expectations you have of them, is to set low expectations and you won't be surprised. Right? Or you will, yeah, you won't be disappointed, but you might be surprised, right? Because sometimes people can surprise you and they can give and do more than you even expect or dream, right? Exactly. Not to mention what you expect from God some days, right? When you come to church on any given Sunday, I don't know what you're expecting. I'm always expecting the Holy Spirit to come and to move and to touch people's lives and transform people in this place, because we are in the holy temple of God. And so miracles take place here, do they not? Yes. So when I walk in this place, and I hope when you walk in this place, everything that transpires, even though we can imagine some awesome things happening, it always turns out better than expected, right? Oh, okay, we'll see. All right, we'll see. You know, because too very often, I know when sometimes people get a perception or a concept of church, they have different expectations around the world. I wonder why our churches aren't filled and overflowing in light of everything that's happening in our world. How is it that the doors are not just busted open and everybody and anybody is coming back to God? How is that not happening? I think it has everything to do with the expectations, unfortunately, have not been met by churches, right? You know what I think needs to meet people at the front door of every single church, especially this church? Love needs to meet them there. Love needs to be right at that front door from the moment that, and you can feel God's love when you're in here, right? And it exudes from where? The air, right? The lights, the music, the sound. Where does it come from? The people, your hearts. Whenever anybody walks through these doors, I want the expectation, even though they might have a low expectation of what they're going to find here, that we bust open their expectations and it's better than ever expected. They walked in and they said, wow, what a different place Christ the Cornerstone is, right? That's my prayer for this church. And this not only happens here, but it happened when Peter and John were going to church. And that's where the scriptures are going to come from. So let's go to Acts chapter 3. And this is where the message comes from this morning. Because no matter what you walked in expecting this morning, what you're going to receive is better than you expected. Okay? Are you open for that expectation? Yes. So even if you have the highest, greatest, super duper expectation, we're going to exceed that. How about that? Amen. Watch what God does. All right. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. Now, first and foremost, let's get a picture of this, right? There's a temple. There's a gate, a beautiful gate. And when I studied what the beautiful gate was, it was different from all the other gates leading into the temple. It was the largest, it was the thickest, and it was the most ornate and magnificent. It was thicker, and it was overflowed by gold and silver and bronze and brass, and it was taller than all the other gates. Most of the gates were 40 foot high. This gate was 50 foot high. So it was the largest, most beautiful gate entering, letting people enter into the holy temple. Guess who entered that gate all the time? The rich people. The rich people went through the beautiful gates. Oh, yeah, baby. Right, the gold and silver people, dripping with gold and silver. They walked right by the lame man who was put where? Outside the gate. Right by the front door, but not allowed where? Into the temple of God. Tells you something about the early church, doesn't it? That church, at least, right? But who's walking into that as well? Peter and John, right? They are Christ's disciples. They are Christ's representatives. So here's what they do. First of all, when the man saw Peter and John about to enter, assuming they are rich. The rich fishermen are coming. No such thing, by the way, scripturally speaking. He asked them for some money. Made sense that he would be at that gate, right? The people that placed him there expected this man to get money, right? Yes. That's why they put him at the beautiful gate. It's logical, correct? The man also assumes he expects from Peter and John what? Money, 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 money is going to solve all my problems. I'm going to get some from these two guys. They look really filthy, rich. After all, they're coming through the beautiful gate where all the other rich people come. Peter and John looked at him intently. Now, the word intently is different than looking at somebody on your way by, right? Heading into church, right? You know, right? Sometimes we're in a hurry, we're hustling, bustling, right? And sometimes we just bolt into here, right? Sometimes you bolt into the church right when service is starting, right? But there's a difference when you're just walking by someone and not paying attention to them and looking intently at them, right? Really paying attention. Really focusing all your attention on what? This one person, right? Who is lame and laying down by the gate. They must have wondered, what's this guy doing here, right? Why isn't this man where? Inside the church building, right? Evidently, this church didn't allow poor people in, or lame people, or blind people, or unhealthy people, or messed up people, or anybody that wasn't rich people coming in that place, correct? Not such a great church in my estimation. And then Peter said, look at us. So he's not just saying, I see you. He's saying, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift of money, right? So he's going, wow, they're really paying attention. There's two of them, right? And they're saying, look at me. And so he's like, oh, cool, I've got two. I got two possibilities for a gift of money. But Peter said, look at me. I don't have any money for you. Money isn't going to satisfy you. Money isn't going to heal you. Money isn't going to change you. Money isn't going to bring you into the kingdom of God. Money's not going to get you into the church and give you favor. Money's not going to give you a special position in life. Money's going to just be something that's temporary to give you something to eat for a day. Right? You can buy some food with that money for a day. See, Peter is a fisherman, right? What are we here as a church to do? Feed people for a day or teach them to fish so they can eat for a lifetime? And what are we trying to feed people? Jesus Christ, the power of God, right? The healing touch that comes only not from money, but comes from God Almighty, right? And he says, I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I do have. See, I got no money for you, folks. You don't have a wealthy pastor. I can't even buy you lunch most days. I may have a coupon. We'll do buy one, get one. But I'll give you what I do have. I have faith in Jesus Christ. I have a belief in him that he surpasses everything and anything we could ever want or desire. And that no matter what we go through in life, God will supply for every need we have. And I have a faith that's unshakable. And I know that the healing power of Jesus Christ can heal every single one of you, lame, blind, dumb, whatever. Dumb, not like, you know, you do dumb things, right? Huh? Right? No, you can't pray for me to be mute, Eunice. No. I believe and know that through Jesus Christ, you can be healed of whatever it is. And God will supply for every one of your needs. The most important need is a spiritual one. And I also can promise you this. No one will ever be kept out of this sanctuary. Rich, poor, or anything in between. Correct?
Amen.
Love meets them at the door.
Amen.
I got plenty enough of it.
Yeah, baby. And here's what he says. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. I love that. I wonder where the guys were, the people were that laid this man down there. Where were those people? That remember, they bring him every single day. Every single day since birth, this man has been brought where? To the temple gate, the beautiful gate that all he can do is look at how ornate and beautiful it is and all that gold and all that shiny stuff that matters not. He could see that every single day. And those people had what? An expectation, right? Of what God couldn't do. They had no belief and trust and faith that God could heal this lame man, right? So their expectations were pretty low of God. And I'm sure they dropped the guy off, went inside the temple and prayed all day long and did their thing. And then they probably picked the guy back up and took him back home to the next day, to the next day, to the next day. What? How does that change a person? We need as a church to bring people into the sanctuary, into the presence of God, into the name of Jesus' power, right? No one needs to be left outside as they were or are. All of you have been changed, right? And if you haven't been changed, you're going to get changed now. How about that? Because you've come through the beautiful gate. See, I see it this way. In this particular church, when you walk through that gate, you might have come in ugly as sin because of your stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Right? I mean, we got more baggage. We got so much. The reason we have an empty lot out there is we bury your baggage in it. Your stuff. Your pain, your sorrow, your hurt, right? Your brokenness, your mistakes, your lameness in terms of your faith, your lack of faith, right? You limp along through life sometimes, right? We want you, when you come in here, you become beautiful, right? Thus, we have a beautiful place here. It's a sanctuary. Now, if you look around this place, you go, Pastor, you see the colors and the stuff and the whatever that we got. We don't have any gold and stuff. It's not very pretty in here. But I would like for you to each turn to each other and take a look. What do you see? Do you not see beauty in this place? Do we not have a beautiful church?
Amen.
We have a beautiful church. Woohoo, you're so beautiful. Yeah. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. See, you notice that faith, it takes action, doesn't it? In the sense that, you know, we pray for you and things of that nature, sometimes from a distance. But every once in a while, it takes one of us pastors. When some of you are going through the same thing over and over every single day, every single day, every single day, and you kind of keep coming there every week, week by week, by week, by week, by week, right? And you have expectations of, okay, this is as good as life gets. I've always been this way. I'll always be this way. It's just the way I am. We look at you intently, and we say, look at me. I have something for you. I have a healing for you in the name of Jesus. I have a better expectation for you than you can even dream or imagine. Anybody in the room feel a little off today? Anybody in the room need a little healing today? Anybody? Nobody? Anybody? One? Two? Three? So you notice what Peter did. He said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Where is that other person? In the name of Jesus, be healed. 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 Got to go over there. Beautiful. How many other Peters do we have in the room? Is it just me?
Nope.
Oh, okay. So can you help me out by helping somebody else up? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. See? Go ahead. Do it. Do it. Anybody else? I saw someone over here. In the name of Jesus, be healed. See, here's the thing about this church. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Here's the thing. Yeah. You got healed twice. Good for you. All right. Double blessing. Ooh. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. All right. So anybody that was touched this morning, you mind jumping up? Can we see who you are? Oh, beautiful. Nice job. Beautiful, beautiful. Then walking, leaping, and praising God. Amen. Here's the best part of this story. See, one would think, what's the most important part of the story? That they were healed, that he was healed. What's the most important part of the story? See, I got to read the rest of the scripture to you, right? The best part is that he was healed and he jumped up and he praised God. And here's the greatest part of the whole story, team. He went into the temple with them. Yo! You see, listen. All the places you are, there are lame people outside of this church walls, right? All throughout all the world, there are people kept out of churches for whatever reason, right? And you may be the only Peter they meet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it more important that they get healed? That's a method by which they can now walk. But what's the most thing we can ever do for a person in all of our lives? Bring them to Christ. Bring them to Christ. Bring them to the temple. When they realize he, and here's what happens. When the people realize he was the same lame beggar, his job description ended this day too, by the way. He got a new job. Right? He no longer was a beggar outside of God's church. What was he? A member of God's family, right? When the people saw that he had been so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. Listen. When you come, I believe, to Christ, this church, any church, wherever you come, and you come face to face with Christ and in the name of Jesus, whatever you were before changes. You get a new life. A new life has begun, right? A new life. Now, I'm telling you that because some of you, see, here's my problem with this man. My fear is for this guy, he went to church once. Yahoo, I'm saved, I'm healthy. Now where am I going to get money? Or those people around him that were so astounded, maybe hopefully they came into the church. But here's my greatest fear, is that perhaps he was healed and he never went back. Or he went back to his old way of thinking. You understand what I'm saying? I want to say that to you because I want you to know that when God heals you, spiritually speaking especially, you are never the same. You understanding that? You getting that? Your expectations are no longer the same, are they? Are they? Because, listen, what did the man expect? Money, money, money. And that's something tangible, is it not? What did he get? Something much, much, much better. Next verse. They all rushed out to Solomon's colonnade where he was holding tightly to Peter and John. This is the, see, I like the happy ending of this story. Don't you? What was developed right there with Peter, John, and this man? A relationship. And see, this is a symbolic vision for you that he was holding tightly to Peter and John. That's just in the natural. But who really was he holding tightly to at this point? God. Finally, God. He had a personal relationship with God now. Do you see that? And he was holding tightly to God. Wow. And God is holding tightly to him and to you. My prayer always is that even though we love healings and all those things are fantastic to see, I pray more for you and that you continue to have a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, a one-on-one with God on a daily basis, that whatever you need, you realize, wait a minute, I used to be a beggar and sit outside the church. But now I'm healed and whole, and I'm in the church. I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of God's family. And I'm somebody that now, in turn, I can give back to others. And although this man was lame, he was healed, and suddenly that beautiful gate had a whole other vision for him, didn't it? And you know the cool part about this story, too? That man who once was poor was filthy, 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 clean rich at this point, wasn't he? Right? What he thought he could only see and touch, that gold and silver, the most beautiful gate there was, God gave him something even greater, himself, the power and the Spirit of God. Are we not rich? Are we not rich? Are we not the richest church on the planet? Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we are. Because we're rich in love. We're rich in healing. We're rich in the name of Jesus, the power on high. We have everything we need, right? And we have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful church full of whole, healthy, happy, ever so close to God people. Do we not? You know that song, You Can't Buy Me Love? You know, right? You know how it goes. I won't sing it. I just want to tell you this. Isn't it good to know you don't have to buy God's love? Amen. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be perfect enough. You just have to be you. And the more messed up you are, the richer you become later, because the more God gets glorified by how much you've changed. So if you're really messed up, right? How much more beautiful will you become by what Christ does in you, right? Listen, Peter and John, as you walk around your life and you know of people who are outside of these walls, look intently at them. Pay attention to their hurt and their pain. And know this, the only thing that will ever solve all of their problems or their hurt or heal their brokenness or help change them remarkably forevermore, especially eternally, will be bringing them through the front doors into this beautiful sanctuary of this beautiful church of God's Spirit. Amen.